Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well? So if you will, turn with me to Psalm 124. We are continuing in our series through the Psalms of Ascent, but kind of just as a reminder for where we've been leading up to this point, was in, what was it, August, September, we began meeting at the park, and we were going through a series on renewal, looking at Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. That there was this conviction and this felt need within myself and what I believe for the church to pursue renewal together, the sense of having our hearts cultivated, centered to pursue God. That we talked about the soil of this hope for renewal being the glorious, unlimited resources of Christ. Right? That the hope of renewal was for our heads, our heart, and our hands, that our thoughts would be renewed, that our affections would be renewed, that our will and desire for obedience would be renewed. And that what that ultimately meant, what it meant to grow, was to both have a growing understanding and experience of God's love. And that all of this is ultimately for His glory. Right? It's for His glory that we pursue renewal. And so the Psalms of Ascent are intended, I think as they were originally intended, to be songs that are sung on the journey to renewal. That it's not just something different, but on this long road of obedience, as Eugene Peterson calls it, as we follow and pursue Christ, there are these songs that God gave to the nation of Israel to be sung as they journeyed from their home to Jerusalem three times a year for worship. And in many ways, it's a metaphor for a life lived upward to God. These are songs, themes that accompany us on this spiritual road trip. And so we've looked at songs of repentance, songs of providence, songs of gathering together. Last week it was the song of a servant who cries out to his master for mercy. And if you remember, it's a collective, it's a community lament. It's a sigh. There was this longing that cried out, till mercy comes, I'm going to look to the Lord, till mercy comes. But the psalm ends, and mercy has not yet arrived. It left us in the sense of waiting, of a longing for mercy. That as Christians, we both have experienced mercy in Christ today, right? But there is still a longing for mercy that will be fulfilled and completed when Christ returns. And so it should resonate with us that there is this longing for mercy. Today, in today's psalm, mercy arrives. We see when mercy arrives. But the thing is, and we see that the psalmist, you're going to see this in verse 1. He's going to begin to sing, and he's like, okay, now, let's sing together. And he's going to repeat the first phrase. It's like you begin singing happy birthday, but nobody sings with you, and it's that awkward moment. And you're like, no, together, once again. This is what we're going to see in the psalm. But then we're also going to see it's a song of what if. See, what if mercy didn't come? And it's not something we often take the time to actually consider. But the psalmist is going to invite us into that this morning. What if rescue never came? What if in waiting for mercy it never arrives? What would have been our reality? And so after the what if, we're going to ultimately see in verses 6, 7, and 8, what is our reality by the grace of God. And so I want to take us through this journey this morning to ask the question, What if rescue never came? But what is the hope that we have this morning? So if you will, let's read Psalm 124 together. That if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our health is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Do you see that this if then that's being played? Like in verse 2 it starts, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Then verses 3, 4, and 5, then this would have happened, then that would have happened, then that would have happened. And we see the severity. And what can happen is if we move too quickly to blessed be the Lord, we never consider the agony of the what if. But the beauty of verse 6 in saying, blessed be the Lord our God, is because of what preceded it. And so I want to take some time. When we consider what it says, then they would have been swallowed up alive. It's the monster under your bed as a child, right? That's so large, so scary, you don't want to get up at night to go to the bathroom. Do you know that feeling? Because you know what's going to happen. You're just going to be immediately. It's like this sudden, immediate, complete consumption. The monster's not even going to have to chew you up. He's just going to swallow you. It's like the ground gives way and you are consumed. We would have been swallowed up alive when their anger was kindled against us. We would have been consumed. We would have been destroyed. We would have been annihilated. Sudden, total, absolute destruction would have been the reality. But then it continues. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. See, what you have in Palestine are wadis. They're dry riverbeds. And they're particularly dangerous because during the rainy season, it's just an instant flash flood. Which means as the floodwaters come, you are going to be completely swept away in an instant. But what makes them particularly dangerous is you could see a dry riverbed in front of you, right? And you're like, it's a beautiful day. It's bright. It's sunny. It's safe to cross. The question is, what happens if it's raining upstream? It might be beautiful here, but if it's raining up there, without notice, you could be covered, swallowed up by the raging waters while the sun was still beating down on you. This was the danger of these waters. And we think about it for a moment, right? Like, it's one thing to be swallowed up. It's another thing to drown. To be longing for air, your body convulsing for a breath, and yet all you can drink in is more water, more despair, more hopelessness. And you long and you grasp to grab onto anything, but the waters cover you. You're being swept away. And every time you gasp for hope, there's just more and more despair. See, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. See, what is the what if for the nation of Israel? See, what if when they were enslaved in Egypt, if God did not rescue them? What if Moses was never raised up? What if the 10 plagues never came on to Egypt that caused him to release the nation of Israel? What would have happened if God did not lead them? Cloud by day, fire by night. What if God had not parted the Red Sea? What if, as Israel circled the city of Jericho, shouted and blew the trumpet, nothing happened? And they stood there in ridicule. They would have been destroyed, annihilated. The list could go on and on. If God had not rescued them, they would be destroyed. They would be consumed. And it reminded me personally of this sense of, as I was praying through it, just meditating on this passage, like, what is the heart of this longing, of these what ifs, if, then? And as I was thinking through the feelings, the emotions of what's being described here, being swallowed up, destroyed, abandoned, without rescue, it did remind me of a moment in my own life that I felt this feeling. My wife and I had been married for about 3 months. I was studying psychology. I wanted to be a child psychologist that used art therapy. When God rekindled in my heart a call to ministry, I did not want to do that. I can't speak in front of people. I get nervous. I was like, oh no, he's going to send me to some far off place to preach. That's not me. Like, that's not where my life is headed. So thanks God, but no thanks. And that's what I said. And I've never had the language to fully express what I felt in that moment. The image that I've always had in my mind is, do you know when you're standing at a great height and you feel that weakness in your knees? Or have you ever like fallen, or as a roller coaster goes down and that feeling of just everything goes up into your chest and you feel that fright? It was like that magnified by infinity. It was this absolute terror, this sense of falling into blackness without being able to grasp anything, as if I was completely outside of the presence of God. And it was such terror that my no before God was momentary. It was a couple days. I can be hard-headed. But it was like this sense of, okay, God, I'll go wherever. I'll do whatever. I'll say whatever, but I never, ever, ever want to experience that again. It was such a terrifying thought, such a terrifying reality, that all I could say is anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. But I don't ever want to feel that alone, that abandoned, as long as you're with me. This is what the what if should stir in our hearts. Like if I were to ask you, think of your story. What if, think of your past, the brokenness, the pain, the sin. What if God was not present in that moment? What if you were abandoned to your pain? If you were abandoned to your sin? If you were completely alone, if God did not save you, where would you be today? Who would you be today? Like, I think it's appropriate for us to ask ourselves that question. To say, what if? Because if that was true, then I would not have hope. I would not be here. I would be consumed. I would be destroyed if God left me to myself. Like, what if in the midst of, for me, that sense of falling in darkness, if I began to call that darkness home and continue to walk in rebellion to God? Like, what if that was true of you? But there's also the sense that the psalmist isn't just calling us to ask ourselves that individually, but also corporately. Let us say, like, what if together as a community, if God was not present in our center, what if the only thing that we had to unite us was our political viewpoints? How much unity would we have? Like, what if the only thing we had to unite us was our ethnicity? See, the reality is, we would see the fractures and the divisions. We would see that what if the corrupt culture was the only thing we had to exist in? What if each of us was left to our greed, our pride, our power, our hatred, our individualism? See, without God, who would we be as a church? This is what we are being invited into consider. See, if it had not been for the Lord, then we are without hope. But this is where the what if becomes what is. This is where hope, where the sun rises. I don't know if you saw, like, my daughter was taking a picture of the sunrise this morning because it was glorious. It was so beautiful. And like, when you see the sunrise after a long night, this is what it feels like. When it says the words in verse 6, like, if we take our time to walk through slowly, verses 1 through 5, and then it says, blessed be the Lord. See, blessed be the Lord, because the what if is not our reality. What is redemption. What is rescue. This is what is. That it's that sense of being covered, drowning, and then gasping for air and receiving it. That moment where you spit out the water and you breathe in desperation. The air that there's hope, there's life. Maybe I won't be consumed. Maybe I won't be buried in this watery tomb. There's hope because this is what is. And this is what calls us to cry out, blessed be the Lord. Because that is not our reality. But here's the thing. Here's what's important to notice, I think, in this passage is, one, the danger, that risk is real. It's not saying that there's no risk. It's not saying you won't have any hardship. In fact, it's saying something very different when it says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. See, we may have been bitten, but not swallowed up. Like, there's this sense of there was still attacks. This isn't telling us that we're free from danger. It is the bird. Look at what it says. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. See, we were captured. We were ensnared. It's not that we were free from the snare. It wasn't just saying, hey, you're going to walk this easy path and never have any kind of hardship, no kind of danger, no kind of risk. You just follow God and everything's going to be smooth. It's saying, no, we were like a bird ensnared, trapped. But God is our rescuer. Our rescuer is greater than the risk. He's greater than the dangers. And though we were ensnared, that snare was broken. We were not captured. We were not condemned. We were not killed. We were rescued. This is why we cry out, blessed be the Lord. It is blessings of His name for who He is. And I think it's helpful for us to realize, like, even in our lives, there's danger. There's risk. There's hardships that we're going to face. Like, you may be sitting here and saying, I kind of feel abandoned in my loss at the moment. I feel like I'm trapped. Why does God allow us to endure some of the risk and then rescue us? Why doesn't He just prevent it altogether? St. Augustine says that in my deepest wound, I saw Your glory and it dazzled me. See, what if God in His goodness allows us to pass through the bitterness of night so that when morning comes and we taste the sweetness of rescue, we see His glory more clearly and we cry out, bless the Lord. Now I know I have tasted the sweetness of rescue. I have tasted the sweetness of His redemption. And that is far, far better than the bitterness through which I've passed. Would God be good Yes. Like, part of that is for our own good. That he allows us to endure hardship so that it grows within us a patient endurance. As we learn to trust in him. But while it is for you personally, it is also for together. That you become a witness. You become a witness that says, if the Lord had not saved me, this is who I would be. But let me tell you what my God has done. This is such a tremendous, tremendous witness and testimony of who God is. Josh Moody, in his book, Journey to Joy, says that when we think of witness, we tend to think of these simplistic slogans or aggressive evangelism. But in Christian thought, the word witness is always connected to the expression of the cross as well as the experience of the cross. So, like, in application for today, what I want to encourage you guys to consider is, what would be your if-then testimony? Right? If you were to say, like, if the Lord had not rescued me in the past, if he left me in my sin, if he left me in my brokenness, this would be my story. This would be who I am, where I would be. And in all honesty, God only knows. But let me tell you what is. Blessed be the God who rescued me. Let me tell you who he is and what he has done. See, this is your story. This is what God has done in your life. And I want this to be an opportunity for you to take time to think through that. That for us to sing and worship and praise God this morning, it's a moment to say, without God, I would be condemned. I would be ensnared. Because there's a part of all of our story. When we realize the reality of who we would be, not just our unique story. There is a unique story that each of us has here this morning. A unique story that each of us could say is an if-then, right? That it is unique to you. There's also a collective story that we share together. That we can say, if then, because if I had been left in my sin, that we were ensnared, we were enslaved. Romans 3 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is true of all of us, collectively, right? And that the wages of sin, the cost of our sin is death, being swallowed up into the grave, eternal separation from God for all eternity. This would have been our reality if it were not for Christ. We were trapped, unable to save ourselves, unable to break the snare of sin that held us. Romans 5 says that therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all. Because all had sinned. Death is the consequence of sin. Eternal, in absolute separation from God for all eternity, swallowed up. And without Christ, that is all we would have known. But that is not what is for those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus. Like, I want you to listen to this passage from the Old Testament and then the New Testament of what is our reality. Because I pray that if we really, really take the time to uncomfortably think, what if, it will allow our hearts to rejoice in a renewed way. The affections of our heart will be kindled. Because though we would have been swallowed up by death, he, speaking of the Messiah, will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. This is 700 years before Christ through the prophet Isaiah. And the reproach of all people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God We have waited for him, that he might save us till mercy comes. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is what was promised. This is what would be sung on that day. But then in 1 Corinthians 15, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, when the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Lord. Because the what if is not what is for those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That instead of us being swallowed up in sin and death and separation, because of Christ, death itself has been swallowed up in victory. We have been rescued by Christ. And I pray that that causes our hearts to rejoice. I pray that, as we sing this song and as we say, till mercy comes, it has come. And though we may walk through dangers and risks, we fix our eyes. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And so we remind ourselves, we remind one another, that whatever you're going through in this moment, you are not abandoned. You are not alone. When your mind wants to say, what if, and speak condemnation, if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he promised that he would always be with you, and he is. That sometimes, that even for us, like this year, 2020 has become like a bad word, right? It's 2020, as if it's just, how bad is that? But let me ask you this. If God had not been with us through this year, how bad would this year have been? How absolutely abandoned? What if the mortality rate of COVID wasn't just what it is, but it was 20, 30, 40%? What if the divisions is all that defined us? What if it wasn't Christ that unifies us, Christ that we pursue? There is hope in the midst of the hardships. It's not saying that the dangers aren't real. It's not saying the risks aren't real or the hardships of this year have not been real. All I'm saying is that our hope is greater. Our hope is greater than whatever hardships we have or will pass through. And so let us fix our eyes on Christ together. So with that in mind, I want to invite you to take the elements as we remember the Lord's Supper together. That I believe our hearts, our minds, our hands need to be renewed. And Jesus said that whenever you gather together, to do this in remembrance, to remind ourselves. My prayer is that through today's song, a song of rescue, that the affections of our heart have been stirred, that we're reminded anew that it is because of his broken body and his shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have been rescued, that death is not our reality, but life. And so at that Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus took the bread. He broke it. And if you will, go ahead and take that top film off and grab the wafer. And he said, this is my body, broken for you. See, when God swallowed up death in victory, it was by his wounds that we were healed. The punishment that our sins deserved was placed on Christ. And so that as we partake this together, let us remember that victory was purchased by his wounds and by his perfect life. What a sweet reminder. Hearing a child just cry out, Daddy. That we would be called sons and daughters, adopted as his own, by his shed blood, by his life. May we respond like a child to our Father, saying thank you. Because he took the cup, he says, this is his blood poured out for us. A new covenant that is secured by his word and his life. Let's partake together. Lord, I thank you. That as we consider, what if? Sometimes we can just assume. But Lord, in this moment, we're reminded that without you, we are hopeless. Without you, we are condemned, consumed, overrun by the raging waters. But Lord, you have not abandoned us. You have delivered us through Christ. So Lord, fill our hearts with joy and gratitude this morning. Fix our eyes and our hope on you. Maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you, and have a great week.